Just the mic. Here we go. We are live, kind of.
That's exciting.
Right? And with me, so we're in the car, well, Suburban. We're leaving the mall at Millennia in Orlando here, heading home. And it's me and Sam.
Hey.
And Bert.
Yep.
He should be pretty quiet for the trip.
Yeah, he doesn't have much to say.
Usually not. No, he's usually a good boy. And we figured we would take this hour-ish to talk to you guys about go home sessions with the service dogs. This is Service Dog Success. It is the number one service dog podcast anywhere because we're amazing.
That's right. Really is just a great resource to find an answer to almost any question you could possibly have about service dogs. But for today specifically, we are going to be talking about go home lessons for service dogs trained by us but given to someone else or sold to another client.
Right.
So today we went to the Mall of Millennia because Fred, the standard poodle, had his first go home session. So his very first of a few sessions that we'll have over the next several days with his new family and handler that came to, they traveled down from where they live, another state. I think it's Illinois.
Yeah, outside Chicago.
Yeah. To grab him, do these training lessons, and then take him back home. So we met them at the Mall of Millennia for their first go home session. They have met him previously. They've come down a few times over the course of the last year to spend time with him, do some light training, things like that, at different stages in his development and training. So this wasn't the very first time they've ever met him or seen him, but
yeah, we usually don't start them at the mall, but it worked out today.
Mm-hmm. Because they're staying in Orlando and we didn't want them to have to drive the hour to where we are, and they just came down yesterday, so they're already pretty traveled out.
But and we had to go to Sephora.
Yeah, we needed some.
Priorities.
Stuff.
And it's their sale.
Yeah, but Fred's been training with me for 10 months, so I picked him up at 2 months from his breeder and have been training him specifically for the 15-year-old girl that's going to be his handler for the past 10 months. He just turned a year old 2 days ago. Day before yesterday was his birthday. So, people have a lot of questions whenever they come to start the go-home process, which is normal, because there is a lot that they need to learn about their new service dog. But I really, really, really resist the urge to dump all the information on them.
They can't. It's too much and it's overwhelming.
Yeah, and they're not going to remember.
Mm-mm.
There's no way they can.
No.
Especially the excitement of having the dog, and like, it's not just the girl, the handler that came, it's her mom and her dad. There's all three of them there.
So we start even before they come. They have access to our online course, and we encourage them to complete the online course. Now, Sam's had him for a year. Even if it's 6 months, we encourage you to complete the online course. If it's less than that, if you're doing a 12 or a 16-week-old puppy program, you don't have to complete it, but you have to be at least that far along.
Yeah, because the online course goes along with the development of the dog. It follows, like, it goes in order.
Yeah, by stages. Yeah, we created it, so it's level. So, like, the first level one is 8 to 10 weeks old. Now, if you get a dog, first dog new to you, and it's 12 weeks old, it doesn't mean you skip that. You still have to do it, but that should be your primary focus during that age. And because it's our online course, and it's our dogs, and it's our go-homes, they all kind of make sense and flow together.
I really like it when the clients do the online course.
Oh my God, it's so easy. Yeah.
And then that gives them more directed questions.
Yes.
They know we have a shared language when they've watched the online course. I'm not saying terms that they haven't heard before.
Yeah. And it's great. I like it. Sometimes they'll bring binders with notes in it. And I'm like, you get a star.
So I did not dump all the information about everything Fred has learned over the past year in this first session. What I did do was let them watch me handle Fred through the mall for over an hour and answer any questions that they had as we went through, and tried to keep the questions relevant to what we were doing at that moment. So not a bunch of hypothetical, like, what if this happens or what if we're in this situation? No. Don't worry about that right now. Right now I want you to just watch this dog work. I want you to just be in his presence. Watch me work. And then we switch off. So then I handed Fred's leash over to his new handler and I watched her work him and I critiqued her while we went through. She's actually really, really good because she's met him several times. She's done the online course.
And she's worked with him whenever you guys have met up before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. At this mall. Actually.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So
Yeah. And
I already had a good understanding. And she seems like really, really, like, I love these clients. I do.
Yes.
They're some of my favorite for recent times. But she seems very understanding as a young girl with disabilities and things herself, and knowing that sometimes she needs some extra time and she needs some grace given to her. She understood that Fred, being in his new situation, you know, that she was going to have to be patient with him and make sure that things were comfortable for him. It wasn't just all about her. She was very centered on Fred, if he's comfortable, if he's having a good time, if this is a good work environment for him, are they, you know, is he feeling matched well with her? She was very in tune with him. I liked that a lot.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. So our plan for tomorrow, and we didn't work very long with her handling him because she's not going to be as good handling through a big crowd like a mall as I am, right? So I had him for over an hour. She had him for about half an hour, and then they left.
And that included sit around and talk time. It included photo time.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't, she had to heal the dog through the crowded mall, because while a lot of malls around the U.S. are half dead, this one is not. This is like malls of ye old times.
Oh yeah, it's still bustling. They have two Starbucks right next to each other, just about.
Right? You can see them from each other.
Yeah. And I just made sure to point out the things she was doing really well, as well as, you know, if she made a little mistake somewhere, if there was something she could be doing better, I told her that too. But you want to make sure with these go-homes that you don't just, like, pile on their failures.
Right? It's an Oreo.
Professional dog handlers.
Yeah. And hopefully it will get better. And one of the things that we all have done, we used to, I've been telling the whole team this, like, I'm so happy. I used to dread doing go-homes because it's such a steep learning curve and it always felt like it was never enough time. And one of the changes that we all made to how we train is more hands-free leashes, so it is not dependent on the leash work of the dog. Now, Rich and I have spent years fine-tuning our leash work, but the clients don't have years.
Yeah, transferring that to a client in a short, in
oh my gosh,
5-day go-homes that we're doing.
I hate, that's why I made Tara do the go-homes. I hated doing them, absolutely hated them. But these go-homes that we just did, Tara was gone, Sam was gone. It was Emily and Kate and me and Rich, and they were amazing because...
You did like three simultaneous go-homes.
Right? We did on the weekend, it was three of them. And then one of them had just gone home before, so we just had four go-homes. But it was great. Like, they got it. The dogs got it. And if they'd start to fingle with the leash a little bit, it was like, nope, hands off the leash. It's a hands-free leash for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked beautifully. And this, what I liked about today, is his handler, you know, had noticed that he was done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sam was just at the beach with him for a few days, doing some training with a client down there. And, you know, he needs his beauty sleep. He is a poo.
Mm-hmm. And he's a young poo. He just turned a year. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. So, expectations. What are the expectations at a year old? You know, first, they're not going to be a two-year-old mentally, physically, emotionally mature dog. They're going to be a year old puppy who is huge because
he's still
full size.
Puppy food.
Right?
He's a baby.
The first year they grow up, the second year they fill in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he'll bulk up a bit. But he's going to need nap times. I still need nap times. You know, we're going to have to understand that he might have some off days. One of the things that I let my people know is aim on 2 outings a week. Don't aim on 2 a day and say, I'm going to get them all done for the month that first week and then I'll get extra bonus stars. That's not how it works.
So one thing I want to point out is go-homes are not like life after they go home.
True.
We don't do the same trait. Like, we don't go operate the same way during a go-home that they're going to operate once they get home. So yeah, we're doing a 5-day go-home, and he's going to have stuff to do every day of that 5 days because we have to use all those 5 days to teach the client, to teach the people.
Yeah, yeah. Oh gosh, if we could do like a month and we
that
could,
would be right? Amazing.
Right, come down for a month and we'll kind of get together 3 times a week and work with them.
Yep.
Maybe even 4 times a week.
But unfortunately, that's not, like, we're on a time constraint.
Yes.
So it's really important for us to impress upon the clients that we're doing a lot these 5 days. You're not going to do that much. Please, for the love of God, don't.
Yes.
You will burn that dog out so fast.
And even at a year old, Sam, do you realize how strange it is for a year old dog, or like a 6-month-old dog, because we just had 3 go home at 6 months old, to have that level of training that they have?
Mm-hmm.
And they have it. It's getting the owners to understand what all the dog knows to be able to utilize it. You know, I'm driving right here. If my car has features that I don't know about and I can't utilize, whose fault is that? Mine or my car's? It's my fault. It's the handler. It's operator error because I don't know how to utilize these features. And it's the same thing with the dogs. So that's where, again, the online course comes in handy. And the fact that this isn't sayonara, see you later. This is the first of many, and they've already been texting. So, you know, like, we're text friends. Sam is very good about scheduling her video calls for afterwards and her check-ins. And I impress on people the importance of taking video. You know, when you're out and about, if he does something great, or if he does something and you're not sure what to do, good, bad, or ugly, you know, try to grab a video of it and show us.
Yeah, we have him post it to YouTube under private and then share the link with us.
Yeah.
So that we can then watch whatever it was they were doing and then critique the video back to them. So a lot of times I'll watch the video and then record myself talking about the video and then send that back to the client so they can see exactly what it is. What I'm talking about based on what I saw in their video, and they likely have a memory of the event and they can watch it again right there in real time.
Right.
What'd you say that show was?
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes, like Mystery Science Theater 3000. Yep, but with right. Their dog training videos.
Right, I love it. Yeah, what I've done before too is say, okay, at 10 seconds this happened, at 12 seconds this happened, mm-hmm. But that gets to be very long, and so if you send us like a 30 second video clip, that's not bad. But you know, sometimes you need to pinpoint and say right here, this is exactly what I want you to do right here.
Watching the ones that are like 20 plus minutes long.
I get distracted. Even whenever I'm watching TV or I'm at a conference and I'm listening to speakers, I need something else to do while I'm listening.
Oh, well, I used to watch, when I was a member of that, Training Between the Ears, their, scholars group.
Okay.
Mark would post full, like 3 hour long training videos, like, because he would just record, like they would just set up a tripod and record the session that he had with that client.
Okay.
And I loved just watching those videos.
Oh, how can you sit still that long?
I would carry it with me. It's on my phone.
Okay.
On my phone and do things. Like, a lot of times I'd be doing like behavioral downs.
Okay.
Or cutting up Happy Howies and watching the videos.
Okay.
Or doing my yoga and watching the videos.
Okay.
Doing DRR with dogs and crates and watching the videos.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I get these, like, it reminds me of those days when I get the longer client videos and I get to sit and watch and.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's, I'm going to blame that on mom because she cross-stitched when we were younger. And so, you know, we were interested in that, or crocheting, you know, as I learned that from Rich's grandma. So, you know, if I sit and watch TV, I need something to do. For me to just sit and watch TV, I get antsy.
You got to do something with your hands.
I do.
But you can't have them in your pants.
Right? Doi!
Dang it. Aw, darn. So, our plan for tomorrow, I told them their homework tonight is bond with the dog. Rest. Enjoy each other's company. Let him recognize that he's in a safe space, that these are his people now. Because it is difficult. Like, people always say, do I miss the dog? Is it hard for me to give them up? And the answer is yes, a little. Like, I know they're going on to change lives, whatever. But it's not hard for me because I'm going to miss him. It's because I know he's going to miss me. Right, he's got not in the sense that like, oh my God, pining for Sam. It's just that everything has changed. Right, the way he has lived for the past year with me is going to look totally different now.
Yeah,
there's going to be some things that are similar, but it is going to be a new house, a new family,
a new state.
Yeah, a new state. He's got another dog that lives in the house that he's about to meet. You know, it's going to be a learning curve for him. It's going to be a big, big life shift. Just imagine if that happened to you. Like, imagine you're 7 years old. Like, let's just try and make it the human equivalent of a one-year-old dog, and we're going to do the old adage that 1 year and, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what that saying is. 1 year in dog years is like 7 people years, which isn't actually accurate, but for this it is. Let's say you're 7 years old, and all of a sudden, your mom just, like, takes you to her friend's house and drops you off and says, you live here now.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough.
It's and they can be very nice, but it's still different.
It's still different. It's still totally different. So that's kind of what Fred's going through. So I told them, and it's going to be totally different from the new family too.
Yeah.
They have a service dog now. They've never had that before.
Yeah.
They have a service puppy in training. He's only a year old. And it might be, I think they said their other dog's like 6. So
yeah,
like
somewhere
8 years old. So it's been 8 years since they had a puppy.
Yeah.
A young dog. So, I want them to keep it easy, give each other grace. Just enjoy the company. Make each other comfortable.
Play.
Play. Yeah, so much play. If he's got the energy for it. Right? And
yeah.
Even if he doesn't, like, you don't have to do crazy play. It can be, like, little light play. Like, I'm going to tussle your little poof, because he's a poodle. Or I'm going to play light tug.
Yeah.
Whatever he wants to do. You know?
Yeah, but go smell stuff.
Yeah, go smell stuff. We'll take a sniffy walk.
Right.
But I told them if they do want to... I didn't tell them every obedience command and hand signal that Fred knows. Because what would be the point? You'd know they'd want to go home and immediately start practicing them.
And I specifically recall you saying, don't worry about training stuff tonight.
Yeah. I said, if you want to do something, you can do name and explain touching a body part.
Perfect.
Or you can do two-finger target or some light play. Like,
and you also had said about reinforcing the rules of the leash.
Yep. Because that's always true. Loose leash law is always in effect no matter what's going on.
Let's do an infographic on that. On loose leash
law?
Yeah, loose leash walking protocols.
Yeah. I like to call it loose leash law because it is the law.
Right, and then you get three L's and we know you like alliteration.
I do love my alliteration. I'm guilty.
Right? Nah, I like it. Loose leash laws. That's a law.
Yeah.
And who made it? Sammy.
That's right. This here's the law of the land. So tomorrow they're going to Disney World, and they had originally thought they'd take the dog with them to all their Disney trips this week, and I said, no, 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 you're going to leave him home. He's going to stay in the crate. We actually let them borrow a crate.
Yeah, yeah, I had a couple rufflings that I keep in the back of the Suburban for when we're transporting the puppies and doing outings and all, and so we let them take one of the rufflings.
Yep, take it back to their hotel, so now when they leave for Disney tomorrow, they'll just do a few hours. They're not doing a whole day thing, right? They're just going to do a few hours. They're going to leave him at the hotel, and then when they come back, they'll let him out. They'll do a little bit of play, maybe go on a sniffy walk, maybe do some of their light, like the few training things that I did teach them today, like the two-finger touch and stuff like that. And then, in the evening, they're coming out to see us at Hope Service Dogs, so we can go over grooming and how to do nails, how to clean ears, brushing, all that stuff.
Yeah, answer any questions from their first night and day. Now, of course, it doesn't mean if they have any questions beforehand, we're not going to be like, nope, save them till tomorrow. Like,
no, they can text or call me for sure.
Yes. Yep.
But in theory, because I've told them not to be worrying about a lot of other things, unless something happens, they shouldn't.
Yeah. We did cover the two laws. So I went with Sam and I had Bert with me because it is nice to have two people there during a go home. Her parents were there. And so I talked to the parents sometimes while Sam was working with the handler. And one of the things that we did cover and that I cover with all of my clients is if you're asked, you know, if you meet with resistance or if somebody comes up to you at a store, a manager or, you know, the guy at the front area. Yeah. Like the gatekeeper is what they call it. So it's not everybody at the store, but what are the two questions that can be asked? And she knew right away. Is that a service dog required because of a disability? And what task or work has the dog been trained to perform?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I recommend that clients always do as homework is practice that. So, you know, she had her parents there. So I said to the parents, you know, ask her that. Don't start like a disgruntled Karen. But, you know, eventually you'll get to that point, too, because when it actually happens to you, you don't know what to do. You can say about it as much as you want to. You can think about it as much as you want to. But until you practice and you have that muscle memory of he is a service dog, his tasks are, no, it doesn't have to be his tasks are, you know, seizure alert, you know, because they don't have to know you have seizures. Medical alert, right? Medical alert. I don't know what that is. Oh, have you heard of diabetic alert dogs? Yeah, well, it's like that. I didn't say he was a diabetic alert dog. You can infer that if you want to, but it's like that.
Yeah, I did like that you told her to practice, because it's like anything else. In a stressful situation, there's the possibility that you will freeze up. You don't want to train at the moments that you need training.
Yes.
So that's true for us as people, too. We want to practice our responses to those questions when it doesn't actually matter if we mess up.
Yeah.
That way we can get good and get that muscle memory of just spitting the answers out as soon as anybody asks.
Yes. And then I also recommended practicing pulling out your phone to record. Because if you're in a confrontation, that can happen. And maybe making up business cards, like baseball cards. It could have his picture on it. It could have any stats that you want it to have, right? So you don't have to say, my name is Fred. I weigh, you know, whatever pounds and I'm so tall. Like, you don't have to put that. You met a service poodle.
My name is Fred. I am a service dog. I am trained for, the tasks I perform are medical alert.
Yes.
That's literally all I can say. So if you are someone who has a really hard time talking to strangers, you could just pull that out of your pocket and hand it to the person. And
yes.
Now you've answered the two questions that they're allowed to ask.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, things to keep in mind. If I'm, you know, just as a side note, if I'm dealing with confrontation, I do try to record. And it's something that you do have to discuss during it, because it's a lot easier during go home whenever you've got your whole team here to support you. It's a lot harder whenever you're home and the team's not with you, right?
Oh, so, and I like giving them that as homework tonight on the day one, because it doesn't require the dog.
Yes, yes. One of the things that we did with our go homes, and granted, our go homes were 6 month old puppies, not year old puppies, but we didn't give them the vest right away. So they couldn't, and we told them, do not take him out. Have Uber come, you know, Uber Eats deliver or go pick up something, but you don't take him out without us there, because of something that had happened in a previous year's go home. The dog was really tired, and they said that they were heading back to where they were staying, and I said, great. And then they stopped somewhere, and there was a pet-friendly patio, and as they were exiting the store, the dog was attacked. Though it is not their fault that the dog was attacked at all. However, the dog, our dog, you know, our 6 month old puppy was so tired that did emotionally scar her some. And she had the resiliency to be able to bounce back, but because she was so tired, it affected her more. Then they ended up having to go to the emergency room because she had punctures. So they had to get those cleaned and dealt with. And it was a lot harder. If they would have told me, you know, like, hey, we want to stop here, I would have said, okay, well, one of you go in and the other one stay in the car. Or, you know, go back and put her in a crate in the hotel and then go. So we just, to make it easier, they didn't get the vests until the last day. And then actually one of them, Chili, we were at Publix and she was in there without a vest. And I was like, well, doesn't she have a vest on? And they're like, you haven't given me one yet. And I'm like, oh yeah. So she got Bert's vest. She got her daddy's vest, which her owner kind of teared up. And she was like, this means so much to me. So now Bert doesn't have a vest. So he had to wear a pink harness. And we're back. Sorry about that. We had to cut off for a second. We're in the car. I told you, driving and recording, and Rich called me and it kicked us off. So then it had to save, and so we're back. And we don't remember what exactly we were talking about. Sam thinks it was
how we said that we liked the giving them the homework of having the two questions asked by
yes.
family and friends, because it did not require the dog. So that gave them something to do without bothering the dog all night for their first day with them.
So we had discussed crates, and one thing I do analogy to people is, you know, Bert was napping at my feet while we were talking, and I said, it looks like he's sleeping, right? And he is, but this is like a cat nap. This is like sleeping on an airplane or sleeping on the couch. It's not terribly comfortable. It's not that deep, restful sleep that the dog needs. So since the dogs usually are used to sleeping in a crate and having some crate time, having that as an option, and since they're going to a brand new home, that's one thing that we can keep similar. So we do recommend, you know, crate time. And that's one of the things that we've seen is the people who do that, who will crate the dog does better, because we also don't want separation anxiety to develop.
And especially a lot of these go homes start in the hotel. Like
yeah.
The people come to us from all over the country. So the dog is staying with them in a hotel for the go home days that they're here working with us. So they definitely want to have a crate. And Fred's had several hotel stays over the past year that he's been with me. I travel all the time. But again, it's that sense of something he knows. It's the familiar in the unfamiliar space.
Yeah, that's why if you're building a dog's confidence, right, and he knows, say, two-finger touch, and he knows, oops, retrieve, and it's play, and it's fun, right, and he knows name game, and if he's someplace that he's a little unsure, and you do the stuff that he knows, so he can perform it there, and he's like, oh, this is cool, I've got this.
Yep, but the trick with that is it has to be something that goes back to, like, grassroots training, something that the dog has been working on since babyhood, right?
Yep.
So one of the first things we teach is two-finger touch.
Oh, yeah.
Targeting.
Yep.
So it's really easy for the dog to be successful at two-finger touch and targeting in just about any environment, because it's so, like, it's muscle memory for them at this point. Whereas
yeah.
trying to get, like, if the people go and they start working on, okay, off-leash heel and under and all these things that were,
like weave.
Yeah, weave. Things that the dog learned later in his training are not as ingrained or as likely to just be easy to be successful with as something simple like targeting, two-finger touch, name and explain touching body parts, things like that. So that's the stuff if they want to work on training. You didn't see my little air quotes right there, but I did the bunny ears. They want to work on training for this first day that they have him. That's all I want them doing, is something that I know is going to be so freaking easy for him.
Yeah, that he's going to earn an easy A, and we didn't talk about that.
That'll build his confidence. It'll build their confidence, too.
Right.
Because if they go to try and get him to do some complex obedience exercise, and he doesn't do it quite right, that's going to shake them, too.
Yeah. So, we didn't talk. Did you talk to her about how to earn an A? We did talk... So there are some people who are what I call type A, which means they want everything structured and rigid and scheduled, right? And type B is way more fluid and easygoing and, you know, hey, things change, like hippy-dippiness, right? With the dogs, we can't be too rigid. If we said, okay, we're going to do the mall, and then we're going to go to this IKEA, and then we're going to go to Ulta, and then we're going to stop maybe at Starbucks and get something, and the dog's done at the mall, we done. We're not going to say, okay, well, let's go do more. Like, the dog is done. The dog sets the pace for this because we need the dog to be successful. So we need to be flexible. We need that flexibility and to be able to change on a whim if needed to set them up to earn an A.
Because it is all about success, right? And we don't get success just because we want it. We get success because we set it up to
be successful.
Because you
earn it.
Yeah.
My cookie was, like, slid in the back and I couldn't grab it this whole drive.
Oh, God, no.
Oh.
Looks like there's a lot going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yep, so I'd say first day of our go-home session with Fred went really, really well. I see them as a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have our second day tomorrow and check back in for what a day two. A recap of our day two go-home.
Yeah.
We'll be providing you guys with that. And anything that happens between now and then, obviously, we'll fill you guys in on.
We got a picture text.
Oh, yeah, they did. They sent us two pictures of Fred and his handler sitting in the back of their rented Jeep, because they rented a car for while they're down here. Just riding together, looking happy as clams.
Yep, and clams are well known as being the happiest of all crustaceans.
Well, they call it happy as clams because they look like they've got a, like if you pick up a clam and look at it straight on, it looks like it's got a permanent smile.
Oh. Because
of where the shells meet.
Okay.
Jeez, I didn't just make that up. That's not one of my crazy southern euphemisms. It's real.
Okay. We'll go with that. Earning an A, Sim. How does a dog earn an A?
How does a dog earn an A?
It's a trick question because the dog doesn't earn an A. The team earns an A. Wah, wah.
So, they earn an A by doing everything to... correct to a degree that you could not find something that they could have done better. So, like, if I said sit, and the dog immediately put his butt down in a nice, framed, perfectly collected sit, I would say that is an A. A plus. Could not have done anything better whatsoever. If I say sit, and the dog hesitates for, like, maybe 2 seconds, but then does it, I don't have to ask for it a second time or anything, then I'd say that's just a regular A. It's still passing. I can still move forward and ask for something else if I want. But I wouldn't say it's an A+. If I say sit and the dog sits, but it's like sloppy, poorly collected, doesn't look good, then maybe I'd say that's a B+. If I said sit and the dog like springs around a little bit, does a few circles, doesn't want to do it, but then eventually sits, maybe that's a regular B. You know, and then so on and so forth. If I said sit and the dog goes, no. I said sit, and the dog goes, maybe. Or if I said sit, and the dog put his butt down and then immediately picked it up, that's going to be a C for me. And that's going to mean we need to work a level down in challenge. So something easier. We need to set the dog up with an easier challenge so that we can get that A. I'm not going to proceed with a C. No way. I'm not going to push forward with a C on my training score. Because how likely is it that if he failed, because for me a C is fail, it's a fail. If there were like a bajillion things he could have done better, there's no reason to push forward and ask for something harder, because how likely is it that if he got a C on just the basic command of sit, when I go to sit, stay, or sit with a heavy level of distraction, or sit without the hand signal, or some increased level of challenge, that he's going to get anything better than a C? It's not likely. And then that's just going to devolve from there. It's more likely that the training, his level of competency is going to decrease, not increase. So you want to be at a high level of competency. You want to be getting an A, earning an A with whatever you are training at that moment before you move on to the next stage of challenge. And that's getting an A.
Now, if you're thinking, okay, well, she said about what it is for Sid. Hold on, let me rewind it and write it down. You don't have to do that. There's an easier way to do it. So she uses A, B, and C, right? What about, what we do with the puppies is our shorthand is excellent, satisfactory, needs improvement. Excellent. They couldn't do anything better. Now, that's based on age and abilities too. So when we're introducing these puppies to these different commands and concepts, we can't expect them to have the knowledge and the abilities of a fully trained 2-year-old dog. So how are they based on everything else? Are they doing excellent? Are they doing satisfactory? Do they need improvement? If they need improvement, stop pushing onward until they're getting excellence.
Yep.
If they're just getting satisfactory, don't push. How can we make it easier to set them up for success? Right? Just like Sam said, you want it to be good. So that's in everything. So if they're...
Yeah, that's not just obedience. That's like...
That's life.
That's life. How are they in with this level of distraction? How are they with this outside stimuli? Like, if a dog barks, do they get too... Like, if a dog in their vicinity barks, do they get too stuck on it? Do they notice at all? Do they... Like, is it okay if they notice? Is it detrimental to our training if they notice? Like, you have to really look at all the pieces and keep what you're trying to accomplish in mind. Keep what's important to you and what you need from that dog in the long term in mind when you're determining what is success versus failure. Because not everything is going to be the same for every trainer and every service dog handler combo.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like, I need to get out of here and I understand that we need improvement, but I need to get my dog out of this situation. I pushed him too much. Now, if that's the case and you're pushing him, one of the great videos that we did, remember with Chili, she was on place and Sam walked across the room. And her goal was to sit down on the ottoman and Chili broke place. Mm-hmm. So we cut it in half. What we asked for was cut in half and Chili was successful. And then we can gradually do more and more.
When she says cut in half, she means we halved the level of challenge presented to the dog.
If you want to get fancy, talk.
Well, I didn't want him to think like, oh, so she just walked half the distance away and sat down. I considered the challenge, which was walk away from the dog, totally away with my back to her, sit down on the ottoman normally, like I would if I were just going to go plop my fat butt down somewhere, and then be able to stand up and go back, and her maintain the stay the whole time without any outside influence from me. That did not happen, right? So I say, okay, I don't need to fail at something more than once. If she shows me she can't do that when she broke place, so that's her telling me, nope, that was too much challenge for me. I go, okay, I don't need to repeat exactly that because she just showed me what happens when I do exactly that. So I'm going to make it easier. So what I decided to do was walk not as far away. And instead of walking away casually, like I wasn't paying any attention to her, kind of keeping my eyes on her, helping her to understand that we're still doing something here together. I'm still working you with this stay. You still have my attention over there. And then instead of sitting on the ottoman, I just put my knee on it. Like, I kneeled on the ottoman and kept looking at her and then got up and went back. So that, to me, was a reduced level of challenge. I made it less hard for her, but still managed to accomplish learning about stay. Her learning about stay, right? And then the next thing I did, so she did that well, and then I went right back to the next thing, which was, can I go sit on the ottoman? Like, now that she gets this bit of the concept, can I just go sit on the ottoman? And I could. It worked.
Got right.
And all I had to do... So, if I would have sat there and hammered, no, I'm going to walk away casually, sit on this ottoman like it don't mean shit.
Correct.
I probably would have had to do that exercise, you know, 5, maybe 10 times over and over and over again. And it would not have been this confidence building, learning fun experience for either of us, for me or the dog. So by just taking it back a little bit, doing something a little bit easier, I only had to do it one more time instead of the 5 or 10 repetitions of the same level of challenge, failing each time. So she only had to fail once, do something different, succeed at that, and then try the thing she failed at again, and she succeeded. Instead of fail.
Yes. And it's breaking it down into those bite-sized pieces. Like, if this is too much, half of the distance distraction duration.
Yes.
You know, like, what can we do? Right? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you train a dog? One bite at a time. If it's too much, if you take too big of a bite, spit it out and take a smaller bite.
Yeah. So I like to tell people to keep the goal, keep the core concept in mind. I'm trying to teach her about the concept of staying on the place while I do something else. It doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be exactly while I walk away, faced away from you and sit down like you don't mean shit to me and then come back and release you. It'll get to that eventually.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, right now I'm just teaching the concept. Like, she's learning.
Yeah. So keep that in mind too, as you're working with your dog. So yeah, as Sam was saying, so we're 7 minutes from him now. So we're going to wrap it up for realsies this time. And we'll keep you posted with how they do tomorrow. Tomorrow should be an easier day. But you know, I'm sure they'll have some questions. So we'll share that with you. And
oh, yeah, they always have questions. Which
right?
Is, you know,
I like questions.
I like that we do this over the multi-days.
Yes. Yeah. So the multiverse too. What if we did it over the multiverse? That'd be kind of fun.
We are. There's probably me's in all galaxies training dogs. Me's in all realities.
Right?
Training all sorts of different creatures. I wish I was the me that was training dolphins, but whatever.
Well, what if we had a dog named Dolphin?
That's fine.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Okay. And we can, if it's a poodle, we can groom him so he has a fin on his back and a blowhorn.
That's true.
So, stay. It was good. Train well, and we will catch you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.